Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. I'm Anna Sale, host of WNYC's Death, Sex, and Money, sitting in for Brian Lehrer today. Thanks so much for having me. It's always an honor to sit in Brian's chair. On today's show, redefining the loyalty factor at work and getting honest with your boss about where you want to go in your career. And we'll get past our work anxiety by getting into your summer projects. We'll take your calls about what you're building and making this summer. And all this week, we'll be looking at how the de Blasio administration is doing on a number of issues 6 months into his term from the perspective of advocacy groups. Today, we take a look at de Blasio's environmental agenda. But first, let's set the week in politics, from the Texas border to the Washington Beltway. At the top of the agenda this week, what to do about the continuing flood of children from Central America across the Texas border. President Barack Obama is asking for emergency funding to help provide asylum for these children, among other measures. Republicans say there's not enough money to speed up deportations and beef up border security. So Susan Page is here with us, USA Today bureau chief, to lay out what Democrats are saying, what Republicans are saying, because I'm having a hard time saying it. Susan Page, welcome back to WNYC.
Anna, it's great to be with you.
So, Susan, I want to ask you first, when you go to Google and type in Susan Page, USA Today, you're probably not surprised that one of the first results is Susan Page says President Obama not going to the border when he visited Texas was his Katrina moment. Why make that stark analogy? That's not usually your style. Why his Katrina moment?
Well, I did get a lot of blowback when I said that on, I think it was on MSNBC, because there are people who make the point that Katrina was a terrible disaster that cost the lives of a lot of Americans, and that it's not a comparison one should make. And I understand that point of view, and I've taken that seriously. The point I was trying to make was that we all remember that picture of President Bush on Air Force One looking out the window at the devastation that Katrina had wrought. And at a time when the situation on the border is really demanding a lot of attention, the remedy to it isn't clear. The fact that the president went to Texas for some political fundraisers and then did not go to the border to look firsthand at the situation, I thought was a political mistake. I mean, you can argue whether it's a substantive mistake or not, whether there's some value for him looking at that firsthand. But I thought at least the politics of it was something that created some questions at a time when this is a situation a lot of Americans are concerned about.
President Obama responded to that criticism. Here he is from his visit to Texas, but not the border, last week when he was asked about this criticism.
Yeah, Jay Johnson has now visited, at my direction, the border 5 times. He's going for a 6th this week. He then comes back and reports to me extensively on everything that's taking place. So there's nothing that is taking place down there that I am not intimately aware of and briefed on. This isn't theater. This is a problem. I'm not interested in photo ops. I'm interested in solving a problem. Those who say I should visit the border, when you ask them what should we be doing, they're giving us suggestions that are embodied in legislation that I've already sent to Congress. So it's not as if they're making suggestions that we're not listening to. In fact, the suggestions of those who work at the border, who visited the border, are incorporated in legislation that we're already prepared to sign the minute it hits my desk.
So that's President Obama responding to criticism that he did not visit the Texas border when he visited Texas last week. Does that cut in your estimation?
Well, Anna, you know, I went on my first White House trip, if you can believe it, in 1980 with President Carter. So I am both extremely old and extremely familiar with presidential photo ops. And I understand his point that maybe it would be a little like theater to go down to the border. But I got to say that when there's a big problem facing the nation, one of the things that presidents do is shine a spotlight on it. They demonstrate that it's important. They go and look at what people are doing to respond to it. And so photo ops, which are, you know, it's kind of a dismissive term, I guess, it's also something that reflects the values and agenda of a president. So I guess I'm not completely persuaded. I mean, I understand the point he's making, but I don't think it necessarily responds to the concern that people have. You know, as a matter of fact, you know, he has proposed legislation. Well, one of the ways you could lobby for that legislation is to go down and shine a big spotlight on the problem that you're trying to address. And the legislation that he's proposed is in some trouble on the Hill. So that might be something else you'd want to talk about.
Yeah, so there's comprehensive immigration reform, and then there's also the president's proposal last week for $3.7 billion to deal with the increasing numbers of children crossing the border from Central American countries. The Obama administration had originally included a lot of money to help speed up deportations, but immigration groups pressured them to remove that language and instead earmark the money for border security and facilities for those who have already entered the country. So now Republicans are threatening to block the bill if it doesn't include language for more deportations. Where do things stand now? Is this $3.7 billion have any chance of moving?
And I know you'll be stunned to hear that that it's having a very difficult time getting through this Congress, just like almost everything else that this Congress tries to address. I think that I think the chances of passing some additional funding to try to deal with this flood of kids from Central America across our southern border, I think it's likely that there will be a bill that passes. The configuration of that bill is likely to be somewhat different from what President Obama proposed. And then you have the second element, not part of the legislation the president proposed, to change the procedures to handle unaccompanied minors from non-contiguous countries, because that is something that's going to be, I think, a price demanded by Republicans for passing increased funding. You know, I'm sure you're extremely smart and informed listeners know, the kids from non-contiguous countries are now treated in a different way. They're given additional protections that kids coming just from Mexico do not receive. And Republicans think that's proved to be a mistake, that legislation signed in 2008 by President Bush, and that the United States needs to go to a procedure that allows faster deportation of these children.
And we're calling this a humanitarian crisis and talking about the increasing flood of children across the Texas border. This has to do with conditions on the ground in some Central American countries like Honduras, where there's increasing gang violence and children are very much at risk. Is there conversation about ways to try to affect the situation on the ground in these Central American countries where these children are not safe?
There's a little bit of conversation about that, and the package that the president sent to the Hill included $300 million for the State Department to help these Central American countries make the situation more secure at their homes. But that is, I think it would be dishonest to say that's the thrust of the debate here in the United States. The debate in the United States is, what do we do with all these kids who are here? How can we convince their families not to send them on this incredibly perilous journey northward, and not about trying to address kind of the root causes that is sending them on their way? And if I just the Arizona Republic has published this incredible package. I think it was in yesterday's paper, but it's online today, where they went to Central America, and it really paints an incredibly terrible picture about what's going on there and about what these kids face when they make this journey.
Listeners, we want to hear what you have to make of this current immigration battle. Do you see it as a humanitarian crisis or a security issue or both? What do you want from your representatives, immigrants, voters, anyone watching this issue? Give us a call at 212-433-9692. I'm speaking with Susan Page, USA Today's bureau chief in Washington. And let's take a listen to a few lawmakers talking about this question. Here is Senator Tom Harkin, Democrat from Iowa, from a Senate appropriations hearing last Thursday.
As we hear more and more about the situation with these young people coming across the border, you know what my ears are hearing? Round them up and ship them back. Sounds like we're dealing with cattle or some kind of livestock. Just round them up and ship them back. Senator Murkowski had it right. This is a humanitarian crisis.
Richard Durbin of Illinois also told administration officials that their $15 million request to provide more lawyers to represent the children was, quote, grossly inadequate. Here's Arizona Senator John McCain on CNN yesterday.
The best way to do that is for plane loads of these young people to be returning to the country of origin, and their families who have spent as much as a year's salary paying these coyotes, as soon as they see their money is not effective in getting their kids to this country, then it will stop, and not before.
That's Senator John McCain talking about how to stem the flow of children across the Texas border. So is the framing really Democrats are saying this is a humanitarian crisis? Republicans are saying people in Central America think that this is a safe place to come, and that we need to show that you will be deported if you make it across the border?
Well, I think most Republicans are saying we ought to speed up deportation. As Senator McCain said, send plane loads of kids home to convince their families that this is not a gamble that is worth making. Democrats, I think, are divided. I mean, a lot of Democrats are not talking about this issue. A lot of Democrats in purple states, in swing states, that do not see the politics of the situation working in their favor. But you do have senators like Senator Harkin, who, of course, is retiring at the end of this year, and Senator Durbin, who is in a pretty secure situation in Illinois, talking about the humanitarian need in two ways. One is just to take care of these kids while the process works through, right? They're trying to find shelters. They're trying to place them with family members. At the National Governors Association meeting this weekend, a lot of pushback by governors in sending these kids to their states. So that's the initial humanitarian situation. The secondary one is, do these kids deserve asylum in the United States so they could stay here legally, because the situation back home is so dangerous?
So I want to ask you about what you just said about Democrats, that Democrats in purple states don't see this as an issue that they want to engage with at all. We have the midterm elections coming up. States like Colorado, there's a large share of Latino voters. There's a closely watched Senate race there with Senator Mark Udall running for reelection. Why is this an issue that he doesn't want to embrace and say this is one sign about how what's happening in Washington, our inability to act on immigration, and we need to? Why isn't he embracing that?
Well, Senator Udall is perhaps the only incumbent Democratic senator in a competitive race who probably does want to talk about this, because there are a significant number of Hispanic voters in Colorado. And so I don't actually know that he's talking about it, but I think he would be a candidate who might well be talking about it. But if you go to the other competitive Senate races, where there's Democratic incumbents who are trying to hold on and trying to hold Democratic control of the Senate, they're in places like Alaska and Arkansas, and states where they can't count on Latino voters coming out in any significant numbers. But getting involved in this issue probably doesn't serve them well. And I've got to say, this is a big turnaround for Democrats, because Democrats 6 months ago thought immigration would be a good issue for them because most Americans support comprehensive immigration reform. Republicans in the House have blocked that compromise that was worked out in the Senate last year. That has really turned around because of this crisis with kids coming over the border, and now it's an issue that you do not hear Democrats focusing on as a general rule.
We're getting some calls. Anthony in Fort Lee, New Jersey, has a question for you, Susan. Hi, Anthony. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, good morning. You know, the president mentioned briefly that, sending the National Guard down to the border was a temporary fix. And I would say, perfect. What's wrong with the temporary fix? Temporary is a relative word. It could be a day. It could be 10 years. It's temporary. But nonetheless, why not make a temporary fix? Because it's not a black and white game. There are thousands and thousands of good people coming over the southern border, but there are a lot of bad people with bad intentions for this country coming over the border, too. It's not a zero-sum black and white game, if you could speak to that.
Thanks for your call, Anthony.
Thanks, Anthony. You know, one reason that some analysts say that sending the National Guard to the border would not address this particular problem is because when these kids come over the border, and I bet you've seen the same TV pictures I have, they are running to people in uniforms, right? They want to be picked up by border agents and law enforcement, because that means that they'll be sent to a shelter. There'll be an effort to try to place them someplace. They'll be given, the paperwork will start on a deportation process that is likely to take a year or more. It's not as though these kids are coming across the border and trying to hide. They're coming across the border and trying to be found. Now, on the broader issue of securing the border, National Guard troops might well make a difference. But on this particular problem, I think a lot of analysts say it doesn't really respond to the situation at hand.
Let's talk about the comprehensive immigration legislation currently languishing in Congress. In that clip, we heard President Obama refer to the suggestions of the people on the border being part of that legislation. Do you know the details of what he's referring to there?
I don't know. Say that again.
The suggestions of the people on the border being part of the legislation.
I don't know what that refers to. You know, this languishing is a kind way to put what's happened to the immigration bill, because languishing implies it still has some kind of prospect. And after all that enthusiasm and optimism last year, it seems pretty dead. But and there is a debate about whether, if that bill had passed, would the situation now be better or worse, because the comprehensive immigration bill that passed the Senate last year didn't deal particularly with this issue. It didn't have any provisions that would change the way, for instance, unaccompanied minors from non-contiguous countries would be treated.
And you mentioned that was passed in 2008 at the end of the Bush administration. What were the politics in that moment when this became policy, American policy?
You know, it was a debate over how to try to deal with child trafficking. You know, at that point, there were a few thousand kids that fell into this situation every year, unaccompanied children from non-contiguous countries. And it was an effort to try to stop child trafficking. But, of course, by setting up this procedure, it, in the past year, in the past 6 months, has created an opening that's turned out to be a big draw, I think, for families in Central America that are looking for a way to get their kids into the United States.
President Obama has talked about this issue now as one of those where he can act. If Congress doesn't, he will do what he can. What can President Obama do without congressional authorization to affect this crisis on the border with children?
Well, President Obama can set priorities for deportation that affect how people are treated. And, of course, he's already done that with the Dreamers, right? He's made it possible for kids who are brought, young people who are brought to this country illegally by their parents, to have security that they're not going to be, unless they're arrested, that they're not going to be deported. But, of course, only during his presidency, right? It's an executive order, so the next president could reverse it. Well, there's a lot of pressure among immigration advocates for the president to expand the provisions of that executive order to include more people, or to include the families of the Dreamers who are now living with somewhat higher level degree, more security now than they were before this executive order. So there are some things he can do, but of course the reason you want to pass laws rather than sign executive orders is because laws will live on after you're out of office, and executive orders may or may not.
So going back to that question about what's a temporary fix and what's not a temporary fix that the caller brought up earlier, to go back to that question that I asked before that wasn't quite precisely worded for you, one of the things Obama has talked about is a so-called border surge. So things that Republicans in states like Texas and Arizona have been calling for, people who work on the border, live along the border. What's the support for a border surge?
Well, I'm not sure this is exactly what he means, but I've heard President Obama talk about a border surge to deal with this situation, a surge of judges, a surge of lawyers to handle the current deportation process for these kids. I wonder if that's what he's talking about. But I'm worried I might have that wrong. I'm worried I might have wrong exactly what it is he's referring to.
Formulation, a surge, is something he could do with an executive order, because it would be for the rest of his administration, but not beyond, as you were just saying.
Well, of course, he's got to get funding. I mean, one of the provisions, one of the big budget items in the $3.7 million that he's asked for is to send more judges and to add more drones and to do overtime for Border Patrol agents. I mean, it's to do things that kind of amount to a surge. I mean, about $1.6 billion of that money is for those purposes. But if you have the protections of the 2008 law in place, this is what Republicans would argue, you're not going to be able to speed up that process very much. Whereas if you go to the process that's used for kids from Mexico, that is a very quick process without the protections, without the ability to, without the kind of guaranteed ability to seek asylum, for instance, that kids from Central America now have. So that would require, I think, a change in the law. I don't think the president can waive the 2008 law unless Congress goes along with him.
Unless he gets congressional action, which you said will be difficult. Before I let you go, Susan Page, let's switch gears entirely and talk about another clip that's making the rounds. We'll go from the border between the U.S. and Mexico to the border between Syria and Iraq without making any implications that they are at all the same. But here is Attorney General Eric Holder on ABC this week, or yesterday, on ABC this week, yesterday. It starts with a question from ABC Senior Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas.
Is this a clear and present danger?
I think it is. In some ways, it's more frightening than anything I think I've seen as Attorney General. You know, 9/11 was something that kind of came out of the blue. This is a situation that we can see developing, and the potential that I see coming out, the negative potential I see coming out of the facts in Syria and Iraq now, are quite concerning.
So is that really Attorney General Eric Holder comparing this moment to the run-up to September 11th?
I think it was. I thought it was remarkable language he used in that interview and underscores how difficult this and serious this situation is in Iraq and Syria. I mean, the administration had talked before in 2012 about having al-Qaeda on the run. The core al-Qaeda had been largely defeated, but this represents a kind of resurgence of an al-Qaeda-like threat that I think has got to alarm anybody who listened to what the Attorney General was saying yesterday.
Susan Page, USA Today's Washington Bureau Chief, it's always great to have you on. Thanks for joining us.
Anna, thank you so much.
Coming up, we'll look at whether you should be more honest with your boss about what your career ambitions really are. I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer.